The drawing must be certain. In the definition, it says directing a certain person to pay. So the certainty, the drawee has to be a certain person. For a perfect and valid bill, the bill should mention the drawee who has to accept and pay the thing. His name has to appear, he has to be a specific person. I cannot say in the bill, any employee of my organization may pay to Mr. C. I have got 100 employees. Now, out of these 100 employees, who is going to pay to C? I cannot say any employee. It has to be a certain person. So, out of these 100 employees, I have to pinpoint one particular person and put his name and say, you have to pay to C. So, I just cannot have an imaginary person. I cannot have an ambiguity in the name of the person. I have to mention very clearly who he is. See, sometimes, you know, the problem comes up. I mention the name of the person. But there are two, three people with the same name. I say Santosh Mishra, Nitin Deshpande. And Nitin Deshpande bahut saare hain. Santosh Mishra bahut saare hain. Kya karein? Then I have to be more specific. Santosh Mishra, and into bracket I should put his designation. Treasurer, cashier. Or if I say Nitin Deshpande, I can say foreman, or I can say, write his father's name in between, Nitin Milind Deshpande. Now, when I write like this, I become very specific and I know the person is specific, he is certain. It is not any Nitin Deshpande, he is Nitin Milind Deshpande. And Nitin Milind Deshpande, common nahi hoga. Nitin Deshpande is a common name, there are three people with the same name. But Nitin Milind Deshpande ek hi ho sakta hai. So, the name of the drawee has to be certain and very clear. You, by looking at the bill of exchange, by reading it, you know that the instruction is given only to this person. He is the person who is going to pay. Now, I cannot mention in the bill two or more drawees' names. I cannot say Mr. A, Mr. B or Mr. C will make payment to D. So, there cannot be two or more drawees. Because this will lead to confusion and then create several problems, practical difficulties if the bill is dishonored. Ki kisko pakde? I have put three drawees names. Each one will look at the other's face, ki tum pay karo, I will not pay. In which case, there will be lot of problems in disputes that may come in on a future date. If suppose a bill, drawee's name is not mentioned at all and it is accepted, then the acceptor will become the drawee. A bill of exchange is written in such a way that the entire content just is maintained. But drawee ka naam specifically likha nahi hai. But it has been accepted by someone else. That he signs and says accepted and signs it. Then that acceptor becomes the drawee. And piche gaya aur wo drawee ban gaya. Normally drawee will become an acceptor. So, yahan pe ulta bhi ho sakta hai ki acceptor can become the drawee. Now, who are the parties to a bill of exchange? The main parties, the drawer, drawee and payee. Now, these are the main parties to the bill. They have to be very clearly specified in the bill. And you must have certainty as to who is the drawer, who is the drawee and who is the payee. The payee has to be certain, the drawee has to be certain. And the maker of the bill, the drawer of the bill also is certain person. Ye sab identify kar sakte hain and we don't have to imagine or presume or contemplate and think ki ye wo ho sakta hai ka, ye ho sakta hai kya. No, we know that the drawer means he is so and so, he is the drawer. He is the drawee, no one else. He is the payee, he is the one who is going to get. They are all specified and certain, no ambiguity, no second opinion. They have to be very clearly specified in the instrument with reasonable certainty. Certainty of amount. See, the definition says to pay a certain sum of money only. So, the certainty of the amount has to be there. What is the amount that is to be paid? Whether it is 10 rupees or 10 lakh rupees or 10 lakh 49,000 564. Exact amount has to be mentioned in the bill, and that certainty is going to help in deciding the bill value. So you have to know what is the amount. It has to be very, very clearly mentioned. You are not going to say that, please, Mr. B, please pay to Mr. C the value of the goods which is going to arrive in ship Queen Mary. No, you don't know what are the goods that are going to really arrive by that ship Queen Mary. Who is going to sit and calculate this amount? So there has to be no ambiguity. You have to say very clearly what is the value. You say in that 3 crores 40 lakhs 924 rupees. Whatever amount, whatever it is, it has to be very clearly mentioned. At the most, you can mention the amount with interest. So interest can be included. The amount can be paid in installments. This is permissible. You can mention in the bill of exchange the amount to be paid, and also you can pay, mention, please pay in installments. Please pay it in 5 installments, please pay it in 2 installments, or please pay it in 24 installments. That is allowed. But the amount has to be mentioned, and the amount has to be very clear, very certain. Payment in kind is not valid. See, I have to make payment for having purchased 5 machineries. Each machinery is costing 7,24,000. So I have purchased 5 machineries. Now I have to write the amount. This is the amount that I have to pay. In the bill of exchange, I cannot say that in lieu of this payment, I will give you so many kilos of rice. What I am doing, I am giving something else in exchange for money, something else in kind. Ya fir main kehta hoon ki, instead of the cost of these 5 machineries, I will give you 2 kilos of gold. This is again payment in kind. Anything other than money is payment in kind. The money equivalent, 2 kilo gold, may be more than what is the cost of those 5 machineries, but it is payment in kind. That is not allowed in a bill of exchange. In the bill of exchange, we have to write the money only, not anything else in kind or in service. Ki aapne mujhe maal diya, I have to make the payment, to mere paas paise nahi hai, to main aapke bacche ko gana sikhaunga ya aapke bacche ko dance sikhaunga, I will give tuitions to him. No, these are all in kind or service. Ye allowed nahi hai. What is required is payment in money only. Stamping. As I said, a bill of exchange has to be stamped as per the Indian Stamp Act. If a bill of exchange is made for a particular amount and for a particular period, it's payable after 6 months and the amount is say 24 lakhs. So, uske liye ek particular stamp duty pay karna hai, and that is to be affixed on the bill. It is required to be stamped as per the Stamp Act. By itself, the bill of exchange has got containing all the provisions of the definition. But it has to be stamped. If it is not stamped as per the Indian Stamp Act, it is not a valid bill of exchange. And the bill of exchange is not enforceable. So that is why it has to be stamped as per the Indian Stamp Act. Then it becomes a valid bill of exchange. Bill cannot be made payable to bearer on demand. A bill of exchange, if I write on it, Mr. B, please pay to the bearer on demand a sum of rupees 49,74,000, I cannot issue such a bill of exchange. Kyo? Why can't I do it? Because when I say pay to bearer rupees so much on demand, what I am doing is I am copying the words which are appearing on a currency note. A currency note is the only document which will have these words, pay to bearer on demand for value received. बाकी किसी डॉक्यूमेंट में ये शब्द आने नहीं चाहिए. इफ दे कम दे बिकम इक्विवेलेंट टू अ करेंसी नोट एंड नोबडी एल्स इज ऑथराइज टू इश्यू अ करेंसी नोट अदर देन रिजर्व बैंक ऑफ इंडिया. तो रिजर्व बैंक ऑफ इंडिया विल नॉट परमिट यू टू इश्यू अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज विद दीज वर्ड्स पे टू बेरर ऑन डिमांड. तो ये अलाउड नहीं है. सो यू कैनॉट इश्यू अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज विद दीज वर्ड्स. सो दिस इज टू बी रिमेंबर्ड वेरी क्लियरली दैट बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज कैनॉट बी मेड पेएबल टू बेरर ऑन डिमांड बिकॉज रिजर्व बैंक एक्ट डज नॉट अलाउ प्रिंटिंग ऑफ करेंसी नोट बाय एनीबडी एल्स अदर देन रिजर्व बैंक. सो दिस इज नॉट अलाउड इन द बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज और नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट एक्ट ऑल्सो बिकॉज इट इज प्रोटेक्टिंग द आरबीआई एक्ट. ओके सो फ्रेंड्स वी हैव सीन सो फार वॉट इज द बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज वॉट आर इट्स कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स एंड हाउ इट इज यूजफुल टू ट्रेडर्स फॉर कैरिंग ऑन देयर डे टू डे एक्टिविटीज फॉर एनी ट्रांजेक्शन्स बिटवीन देम फॉर मनी मैटर्स हाउ द पेमेंट इज टू बी डन एंड थ्रू हूम इट इज टू बी डन ऑल दीज आर टेकन केयर ऑफ इन द बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज. अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज एज वी सॉ इज अ डॉक्यूमेंट इन राइटिंग एन अनकंडीशनल ऑर्डर आस्किंग समवन टू पे टू समवन एल्स अ सर्टन सम ऑफ मनी. Now, this bill of exchange, as I said, helps the trading community to get their financial deals settled. So, a bill of exchange has got lot of benefits for the trading community. And not only the trading community, even other people who have personal dealings, who have to make payment of money maybe on one time affair or on a regular ongoing basis, these people may or may not be having money readily at hand, cash to make payment instantly, so they resort to bill of exchange. So a bill of exchange is very useful and is an integral part of today's financial world. That is why this bill of exchange has got several benefits. Now, what are these benefits? Firstly, it is a double secured instrument in the sense if the drawee fails to honor the payment, the holder can turn to the drawer for remedy. See, in a bill of exchange, it is drawn on somebody and that somebody has to make payment to the payee. Mr. A tells Mr. B, please pay to Mr. C. So, Mr. C has to receive the payment. He has to get the payment from Mr. B. But suppose Mr. B doesn't pay. Is that the end of the road for Mr. C? No. He can go to Mr. A and say, look, you have told Mr. B to pay to me, but Mr. B did not pay. Now, you do something. Either you pay or give me some other recourse. So, if the drawee fails to honor the instrument, the holder can turn to the drawer for remedy. So, he has got recourse to the drawee as well as to the drawer. A payee can demand money from the drawee, and if the drawee doesn't pay, he can also demand from the drawer. So, he has got a double security. Either the drawee pays or if the drawee doesn't pay, the drawer will pay. So, this is a first benefit for a payee in any financial deal. This is the best advantage. You know, you get recourse to two different people. You don't have to depend or rely on only one person. Are ye pay karega, nahi karega? You know, with that doubt you have to go on with business. It's very difficult with doubts. So, when a person is having assurance that isne nahi diya to wo to dene hi wala hai, then he can carry on his business smoothly. So, this is the best advantage of a bill of exchange. The next advantage. See, a bill of exchange is in my hands. I am going to get the payment under this bill after 2 months. But I don't want to wait for 2 months. I want the money now. I'm in urgent need of money. I want it. So what do I do? This is a bill in my hand. It is only a paper as of today. It will become a money document after 2 months when the due date arrives. It will get converted into money and get credited to my account or come as cash in my hands. But mujhe aaj paise ki zarurat hai, so what do? I can take this bill of exchange to some other person or to my own bank and tell them, look, I have this bill of exchange in my favor. Can you give me money against this today? 2 mahine baad paise aayenge under this bill, but I want money today. Don't give me full amount, give me at least part amount. So I take it to my bank and ask them to discount the bill. So if the bill is for 1000 rupees, they may pay me 700 or 800 or 900 depending on my relation with the bank. I'm going and taking the money from the bank today. The payment is going to come after 2 months on the due date. So ye 2 mahine ke liye jo bhi byaj hoga, wo bank ko main de dungi. So I'm getting it discounted today and I get that 700 or 800 today. So this is the best advantage. Even if I pay interest to the bank for 2 months, I still gain out of this transaction, because in these 2 months, whatever I earn, the profit I make in my business may be much more than the interest factor. So I get the advantage of getting the money today itself and not waiting up to the due date by getting the bill discounted in the bank. Another advantage as far as bill of exchange is concerned is, a drawee in case of need is available when the drawee defaults in payment. First benefit humne dekha ki if the drawee doesn't pay, the payee can go to the drawer and ask for remedy. In a bill of exchange, there is another remedy available. If the drawee defaults, there is a drawee in case of need. I can go to that drawee in case of need and tell him, dekho bhaiya, drawee ne pay nahi kiya, now you come into the picture and you make the payment. So a drawee in case of need is available when the drawee defaults in payment. Drawee says, no, I can't pay, or the drawee says, I will not accept my liability. Immediately you refer it to the drawee in case of need. So the drawee in case of need steps into the shoes of the drawee and he will take over the liability and agree to pay to the payee. So the payee has so many advantages where a bill of exchange is issued in his favor. Now we have seen what is a promissory note and we have also seen what is a bill of exchange. In both these documents, the payee is going to get payment. In both these documents, they are instruments in writing under certain conditions, payment goes to the payee under certain circumstances. Then what is the difference between the promissory note and the bill of exchange? Let's look at it one by one. A promissory note is a promise to pay. In the promissory note, I write, I promise to pay the bearer or Mr. So-and-so a sum of rupees, maybe after 1 month, after 2 months, or on demand. So what I am doing, I am making a promise. So it is a promise. Basically, a promissory note is a promise to pay. A bill of exchange is an order in writing asking B to pay to C. So it is an order. Now this indirectly gives a meaning that the person who is writing the instrument is not going to make the payment. In a promissory note, when I say I promise to pay, that means I am going to pay. In a bill of exchange, I am telling somebody else to pay. So it is an order to pay. I am not going to pay. In a promissory note, the maker has to make the payment. In the bill of exchange, the maker is not the person who is going to pay. It is the drawee on whom the bill is drawn who has to pay. So basically, a promissory note is a promise to pay, whereas a bill of exchange, it is an order to pay. In a promissory note, the liability of the maker is primary and absolute. In a promissory note, the person who is writing the note, writing down the instrument, his liability is for payment. He is the person who is going to pay. So he is the basic person who takes up the responsibility or the liability to make the payment. So the maker is primarily responsible for the payment and his liability is absolute. There is no question of his liability getting liquidated or diluted or passing on to somebody else. His liability, the maker's liability, is primary and absolute. In the case of a bill of exchange, the maker, the drawer, is not responsible for the payment. It is the drawee who is primarily responsible to make the payment. So the drawee is primarily responsible, not the drawer. But the drawer is responsible if the drawee doesn't pay. So the drawer's responsibility is secondary. Primary responsibility is of the drawee. The drawer comes into the picture if drawee defaults. So the drawer's liability is secondary and it is conditional. Conditional means if the drawee doesn't pay, I will pay. So it is subjective, it is conditional. It is not primary, it is not absolute. The drawer's liability comes into the picture only when the drawee defaults or the drawee refuses to pay. In the case of promissory note, there is no need for acceptance of the liability. The promissory note is an instrument which says, I promise to pay Mr. B or Mr. C or Mr. X a sum of rupees so much. This document need not be given for acceptance. If suppose acceptance is required, who is going to accept? Who should accept? The maker himself. Who is going to pay? Who is taking up the liability? The maker. The person who is writing the promissory note is the maker. He is supposed to make the payment. So where is the question of he himself saying, I accept my liability? Usne to likh ke hi de diya na, I promise to pay. So over and above this promise, why another acceptance? So in the case of a promissory note, there is no acceptance required. But in a bill of exchange, I am asking B to pay to C. So B has to accept. My merely telling, "Arey bhaiya, pay karo usko," is not enough. When I am telling somebody, please pay, he has to agree to that payment. So specially site bills, that means the bills which are payable after a particular period, they have to be accepted before presenting for payment. So the drawee has to say, I accept it. I am accepting the liability, the responsibility of making the payment. So acceptance comes into picture in the bill of exchange. There is no question of acceptance in the promissory note. In a promissory note, there are basically two parties. The one who is making the promise to pay and the one who is going to receive the payment. So, the maker of the promissory note is supposed to make the payment to the payee. So, he is having direct relationship between the maker and the payee. The maker and the payee, they have direct contact with each other. There is direct relationship between the maker and the payee. There is no intermediary person who is coming in between. The maker, the payee. I pay, he receives. So the maker is primarily liable to the payee or the holder, whosoever is having the instrument in his hand, the holder, for value. He is going to get the payment from the person who has made the promise, that is the maker. So the maker stands in immediate relationship with the payee. The maker is primarily liable to the payee or the holder. Is this very clear now? In a promissory note, let me tell you once again, the maker, the person who is promising to pay, is in direct relationship with the payee. He is the one who is going to make the payment to the payee. There is no other party, and he is not telling somebody else to make the payment. He himself has to pay. In a bill of exchange, the maker or the drawer of the bill stands in immediate relationship with the acceptor and the payee. The maker or the drawer of the bill of exchange, he is in a relationship with the acceptor and then the payee. Who is the acceptor? See, the drawer of the bill is asking the drawee to make payment to the payee. So, first the drawer comes, then the drawee, and then the payee. So, the drawer's relationship is with the drawee, then drawee with the payee. The drawee is also an acceptor. When the drawee signs, I accept the liability. So, the maker or drawer of an accepted bill of exchange stands in immediate relationship with the acceptor and the payee. In a normal bill of exchange, the drawer is having relationship with the payee only when the drawee refuses to pay. The drawee and payee will have immediate relationship between each other. But the drawer will have relationship with the payee only when the drawee does not pay. Or the drawee says, no, I am not accepting. Then his relationship is secondary. Here, if the bill has been accepted, the maker or the drawer of an accepted bill of exchange stands in immediate relationship with the acceptor and the payee. So, the drawer has relationship with the acceptor, that is the drawee, and then the payee. In the promissory note, the maker and the payee cannot be the same person. In a promissory note, we do not say, I promise to pay to myself. Always, I will promise to pay to somebody else. Otherwise, there is no need for a promissory note if I have to make the payment to myself. There is no need for a document in writing. I have to give money to myself. I do it from this pocket, I can put in this pocket, or from this hand to this hand. There is no need for a document in writing. That is, there is no need for a promissory note. It doesn't come into existence if the money is coming to me. But if I have to pay to somebody else, I need to put it in writing, and that is why a promissory note is given birth. So, obviously, the maker and payee cannot be the same person. They have to be two different people. In a bill of exchange, the drawer and payee, or the drawee and payee, can be the same person. See, in a bill of exchange, normally there will be three people. A is asking B to make payment to C. But it is possible that A is asking B to make payment to A, that is to himself. So, the payee becomes the drawer. Drawee is different, but the drawer and payee can become same. Or it is also possible that the drawee and payee can be the same person. I am asking B to pay to him on so and so date. So, it is possible for three people to reduce to two persons in a bill of exchange. But in the promissory note, two cannot reduce to one. Two will remain as two. But in the bill of exchange, three can become two in certain cases, special cases. So, basically in a promissory note, there are only two parties, the maker and the payee. In a bill of exchange, there will be minimum three parties, the drawer, drawee and payee. There could be more number of parties like acceptor, acceptor for honor, drawee in case of need, all those things. But minimum there will be three people. In the promissory note, there are two people, two parties. Now, a promissory note cannot be drawn in sets. First promissory note, second promissory note, third promissory note. One document is enough. On one paper I write, I promise to pay Mr. So and so a sum of rupees so much. A bill of exchange can be drawn in sets. The first bill of exchange, the second bill of exchange, third bill of exchange, they are all for the same amount. It is all related to one single transaction, and yet we can have three, four copies. Why we need three, four copies of this bill of exchange is because so many parties are involved. The drawer is there, the drawee is there, and then the payee is there. So to each one you give one copy of that bill of exchange. So you draw three sets of one single bill, and one I keep with myself, one I give to the drawee, and then I send it to the payee. So the payee comes to know, okay, on this day I am going to get payment from B. So we can have bill of exchange in sets. But in the case of a promissory note, I do not need to make it in different sets. One single instrument is enough. A promissory note can never be conditional. If conditions are put in it, it is not a promissory note, it is not a valid negotiable instrument. It is an unconditional order in writing. To make the payment on so and so date to so and so person. It cannot be a conditional order. It cannot be a conditional promise. So a promissory note can never be conditional. Similarly, a bill of exchange can also never be conditional. You cannot draw that Mr. B, please pay to Sugi if so and so thing happens. So I cannot give a conditional order. It has to be an unconditional order. But then a bill of exchange has to be accepted. That acceptance can be conditional. That is valid. The bill of exchange cannot be drawn with conditions, but it can be accepted with conditions. So it can be accepted conditionally with the consent of the holder. That is required. I cannot put just, if I am the drawee, I just cannot put any conditions. Okay, I'll make the payment subject to so and so conditions without even informing the payee or the subsequent endorsees. I can put the acceptance with conditions subject to the holder knowing of it and subject to the holder agreeing to those conditions. Those conditions may be, you know, like supply of material, that you supply to me 4 machineries by 15th of November. Those conditions I can put, and then I say, okay, I accept to make the payment provided you give me these supplies by so and so date. In case of dishonor, no notice is required to be given by the holder. See, in a promissory note, there are basically two parties, the one who has made the promise to pay and the one who is going to receive the payment. When is a promissory note dishonored? When the maker does not pay. So when I do not pay to the payee on the due date, I know that I have not made the payment. The payee, because he has not received the amount, knows that he has not received the amount. So these two parties are basically known to each other, linked to each other, because they have immediate relationship. When I do not pay, I am fully aware that I have not paid. When the payee does not get the payment, he knows fully well that he has not received the payment because I have not paid. So he need not again come and tell me, look, you have not paid. So there is no need for a notice of dishonor. He doesn't have to give me a notice saying that you have not paid and I have not received the amount. It's fully well known to me that I have not made the payment. He knows fully well that he has not received the payment. So there is no need for a notice of dishonor. In the case of a bill of exchange, this notice of dishonor has to be given. Because they are different parties, the drawer does not know whether the drawee has paid or not on the due date to the payee. The payee has not received the amount from the drawee, but the payee has to inform this to the drawer. So he has to give a notice of dishonor and write to the drawer, look bhaiya, tumne jo drawee ko bola mujhe paise dene ke liye, usne diya nahi mujhe paisa. So this notice of dishonor is required in the case of a bill of exchange. Whereas in the case of promissory note, it is not required. Now, when we were comparing difference between promissory note and bill of exchange, I mentioned that a promissory note need not be prepared in sets, whereas a bill of exchange can be prepared in sets. Now, what is this in sets? Bill of exchange in sets. Now, see, bill of exchange can be drawn in parts. See, normally a bill of exchange is a document in writing which is resorted to by traders, by persons who buy and sell. Now suppose I am a manufacturer of steel rods. I have to buy raw steel from somebody, process it and convert it into rods and then sell to somebody. Now when I am buying the raw material from some steel supplier, I have to make payment to him. I tell him that I'll make the payment to you after 1 month. So after 1 month, when I'm supposed to make the payment, I mention that I'll be giving you payment on so and so date, provided you supply the goods to me by 15th of January. And when you're going to ship your goods, please send the lorry receipt or the railway receipt to me. That is a proof to show that you have dispatched the goods. So this bill of exchange will have along with it a draft and the railway receipt or lorry receipt. Now together all these documents will be one set of document, and they have so many parts to it. So I may be making the payment in stages, not entire amount on one single day, but as and when he supplies, I'll be making him payment, part payment this week, next week and so on. So I can draw a bill of exchange in parts, and in each part I will mention the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm making the payment in 5 stages, so I make bill of exchange in 5 parts. All 5 together is one single bill, and with each bill of exchange there will be so many other documents. As I said, a draft for payment and an invoice for the cost of the goods that is supplied, and the railway receipt or the lorry receipt, and sometimes I may even ask him to insure it. So that insurance document also will be there along with the bill. Now all these documents together will be one single set. So a bill of exchange can be drawn in parts. Each part will be numbered and contain a provision that it would be payable only when other parts remain unpaid. I will make payment of the first part provided other parts are not yet paid. Then I'll make the payment of the second part, then the third part and so on. So these bill of exchange, all these documents can be made in sets. There need not be one single document for the entire total amount and I have to make the payment in toto. Not necessary, because it has to be smooth. Business has to go on in a smooth and efficient manner. So that is why these bills are drawn in parts and they'll be numbered. This is the first of exchange, second of exchange, third of exchange, fourth of exchange. All the parts together make one bill, but the whole set constitutes only one bill. All, suppose there are 5 parts, all 5 together will be one single bill. If one part is extinguished, the whole set is extinguished. Suppose I have made payment of one part, that means I have made payment for all the other parts. I am not talking of payment in installments, I am talking of the part. This one set, I made payment, that means all the sets are paid. If one is not paid, that means there is default. The bill of exchange, as I said, it can be made in parts, it can be made in sets. There are so many sets to it. You can even say they are copies of the original bill of exchange. They are not actually copies, they are not even Xerox, but they are all, I have one single set of document, the bill, the invoice, the railway receipt or lorry receipt, and then the insurance document. Now the same thing will be there in the second set and the third set, and I mention on the first one, first of exchange. In the second, the only difference, it will be second of exchange, and in the third, third of exchange. Here the amount will be same for all. One set I keep with myself, one set I give to the drawee, one set I give to the payee. I have made payment of one, that means I have made payment of the other sets. There is no need for me to separately pay for the second of exchange and third of exchange. If the person accepts or endorses different parts of the bill in favor of different persons, suppose a bill of exchange is prepared in parts and one part is endorsed in one single person's name, another part is endorsed to another person, third part is endorsed in favor of somebody else, then what happens? If acceptance is made of different parts and different people's needs, he and the subsequent endorser of each part are liable on those parts as though it was a separate instrument. When the acceptance is in favor of different people, it means different people are going to get the payment, and that is why each will be treated as separate instrument. Here, all the sets together is not one single bill of exchange, they are treated as different bills of exchange, because each party is different, payee is different, and that is why each payee will get separate payment, and that is why you cannot treat it as one single set. The holder of the first acquired part is entitled to all the other parts. If here we are not talking about the previous situation where the acceptance is in different names, endorsees. If the holder of the first acquired part is entitled to all the other parts. A bill of exchange is prepared in three sets. He has received the first set. The other set is with the drawer. Third set is with the drawee. Once the payee receives his set, he can tell the other people, give back those sets also to me. So he says that give me all other copies of this bill. Second set and third set also, mujhe de dena, because they are supposed to be with me.